From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And tonight, we begin our Mayan calendar extravaganza. We made it. Or did we? First of all, here's what's happening. Well, another sicko at it. A man killed two men, one woman, Friday in central Pennsylvania, then died in a gunfight with state troopers. The first report of shots fired at multiple locations in Frankstown Township came on a 911 call placed around 9 a.m. As the state troopers converged on the area, someone in a truck was going in the opposite direction on a two-lane road, fired a couple shots at marked patrol cars. The truck driver continued driving, then rammed head-on into a different patrol car. He then got out of the vehicle, began firing at the officers. They returned the fire, eventually killed him. Then they found out the story wasn't over. After this episode played out, authorities discovered three slain people at three different locations. One woman was killed in a church, one man was found dead in a house, and another man was killed getting into a car accident with this driver. Very bizarre. The National Rifle Association Executive Vice President is blaming Hollywood, video games, music, courts, and more for creating a culture of violence in the United States. The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, said Wayne LaPierre at a Washington press event. With all the money in the federal budget, can't we afford to put a police officer in every single school? Did you know that 350 million people worldwide suffer from depression globally, according to the World Health Organization? And during the holidays, it's even more prevalent. Here's psychiatrist Dr. Peter Bragan with us. First of all, Peter, people are still acting strange.
They are. I think this country needs a moral awakening of some kind. I'm not sure how to go about it or who will go about it, but we just need a whole different sense of community and responsibility and caring. It's not good, not a good direction.
No, it is not. Now, depression, holiday season, in your experience, Peter, how many people get depressed percentage-wise during the holidays?
Oh, I think it's, I don't think we have numbers, but I think it's a significant number of people, so, you know, I mean, it's really common for people to get sad and anxious around the holiday season.
Why? Is it because they're alone?
Well, sometimes we're alone. Sometimes we're going to visit families that don't make us feel welcome. Sometimes we realize we're not happy with the people we're with. Quite often, childhood experiences get kicked up. I mean, if you're feeling unhappy at this season, think back to your childhood. Did you have happy Christmases?
Yeah.
Or Hanukkahs or New Year's? If you did, enjoy the memory. And if you didn't, it may be why you get sad. And so then it becomes up to us to figure out how to creatively make a better time for ourselves. And the answer to that, George, and you really display this in yourself and your work, is to be kind, to reach out to other human beings, to add a drop of love and kindness to that half-empty bucket that we have in humanity. Ultimately, that's the real key. It's to take advantage of every opportunity we can to reach out from within ourselves. The sadness, in terms of depression, is letting ourselves become helpless. We can still feel sorrow and sadness and reach out and live richly and care and volunteer and do good.
That's the way to do it. Peter, thank you so much. You have yourself a great Christmas.
Have a good.
All right. Dr. Peter Bragan. U.S. stocks finished lower on Friday after a Republican plan to avoid the fiscal cliff failed to gain support, draining hopes that a deal could be reached before the end of the year. The new year could push milk prices now to $7 a gallon. With Congress spending all its time trying to avoid this fiscal cliff, a slew of other legislative matters are going unattended. One of them is the agriculture bill, which, if not addressed, could lead to a doubling of the price of milk early next year. An experimental Trojan horse cancer therapy has completely eliminated prostate cancer in experiments in mice. The team hid cancer-killing viruses inside the immune system in order to sneak them into a tumor, and it is working, apparently. Cannabis makes pain more bearable, according to a study from the University of Oxford in England. Using brain imaging, researchers found that the ingredient in cannabis reduced activity in a part of the brain linked to emotional aspects of pain. We've been saying this for years, that people who cannot take pharmaceutical pain pillars can use prescriptions. You can't use those, but if you use marijuana, generally the pain goes away. Gangnam Style has become the first video to chalk up more than 1 million views on YouTube. The South Korean dance track was posted online in July, propelling pop star Psy to worldwide fame. Okay, a story we've been having on coasttocoastam.com. Close to a small Mexican village, it's called Anaves. Archaeologists have uncovered the first pre-Hispanic cemetery of that area dating back to 1,000 years ago, but 13 of the skulls that they have found there have this intentional, they say, cranial pull. They look like aliens. Lloyd Pye, the expert, of course, on the Star Child Project. Lloyd, this story, what are these creatures?
Well, everybody knows them as coneheads, George, and everybody gets excited every time they see them because they do look like aliens. They don't look like humans, for sure, so what else are you going to call them? But what the experts always say is that, well, it's just humans with deformed heads, and all you have to do is look and see that the size of the heads are twice the size of humans. The brain capacity of the average conehead, and there are hundreds of them. These ones in Mexico are not unusual. There are hundreds of them, and their brains are twice the size of ours. So whenever you hear that from an expert that it's just a deformed human head, it's ridiculous, because when you deform a human's head, and we do that, there are cultures in which cranial deformation is practiced, but it doesn't double the volume of your brain. It just reshapes your head. If you look at the Flathead Indians, there's a classic example. You can look that up, and you can see some pictures of them, and you see how it looks when a human head really is bound, or when you see some bound heads from Africa or anywhere. It doesn't increase the size of your brain. So just on its face, the experts are just whistling in the dark, whistling through the cemetery as they try to make people believe that those are just cranial deformations. They are not. But another point is that when a human skull is deformed in childhood and infancy, the bone of the skull is so soft that it takes the shape of whatever the binding instrument is, mm-hmm. whether that's boards with cloth around them, or as in Africa, with twine wrapped around the head very tightly. It leaves ridges, or it leaves flatness. It produces a flatness on the bone of the skull. You can look at the cone heads. They have natural convolutions. They don't look flat. They don't look ridged, nor do these skeletons in this cemetery.
And let me ask you, Lloyd, about the brain capacity in these heads, which are obviously, sure, the heads are bigger than humans, but what about the brain inside? What do you think?
That's it. The brain, that's what I'm saying. The brains inside those heads, and you can go on images in Google and just do cone heads and do the images, and you can see x-rays that show that the brains fit entirely in the heads, left the tracks of the veins on top of the brain against the bone of the skull all the way to the back. These skulls were full of brains.
So the brains fill out the entire inside of the skull, you're saying?
Exactly. So these are just simply not human. They may be some type of human, but they are not humans like we're humans. They're not us. Whatever they are, and that will be determined. We're trying right now to determine the DNA of some samples of conehead material that we have. Others are doing the same thing. It's hard to recover. It's hard to do this work, and it's expensive, and we eke it along as best we can. But coneheads are going to turn out to be as interesting in their own way as the Star Child. They could be, and I think they will be, a lot closer to humans than the Star Child. The Star Child is just, we can already tell, is radically different from humans. But I think the coneheads are going to end up being closer to humans than the star child, but neither are going to be entirely human.
Okay, it's an unbelievable picture. Lloyd, thanks, and you have yourself a great holiday as well. Well, December 21st, 2012, in most time zones, has come and gone. Not much has happened, but is it merely a window? Will something happen eventually? That's possible. In a moment, one of our special guests, as we begin our special coverage of the Mayan calendar end date, John Hogue joins us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Throughout the night, we will have special Coast to Coast guests for you talking about the Mayan calendar, the end date, what's in store for the future as well. We're going to go to John Hogue in a moment. Richard C. Hoagland cruising around somewhere out there in Central America. He is on with us. There is a delay because of the phone call response. Let's grab Richard right here. Richard, what's going on out there? One, two, three.
Well, I'm talking to you almost like talking to you from the moon. There's a four-second delay because we're going through at least two sites from a ship speeding through the night in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, the 100,000-ton Carnival Triumph, with a group of cruisers called the Galactic Mayan Cruise. We've just come back from the Yucatan from measuring extraordinary physics at the Chichen Itza Kukulcan Pyramid. We had dawn ceremonies on the upper decks in gale force winds and 10 to 12 foot seas this morning. And we're having an extraordinary time, and we dock tomorrow, and I have tons of things to tell you when we get to where we can talk to each other without going through the moon.
Well, I can't wait for that, Richard. Here we are, though. We're going through the 21st. And as many of us have predicted, nothing major seems to have happened. Did you expect all of this?
Well, there's a reason why nothing major is happening, and I'm going to be able to talk about that with data when we get back and we actually do a show. I have been recording with our torsion instrumentation the most remarkable HARP activity ever since it was pre-dawn sunrise at Giza yesterday evening. When you convert the times, they started hammering the ionosphere to apparently fulfill one of the models that we had developed, which is the real reason for HARP's existence was in essence to keep the world from tipping over. And when you see these regular harmonic frequencies, they're doing it again right now all over the world, and of which we're picking them up, it reinforces my idea that the real reason for HARP, under all the BS and all the cover stories and all the hoopla that's been out there, is a quiet government project to make sure that the worst-case scenario of the Mayan prophecies did not come true, and they are succeeding.
Okay, Richard, we look forward to talking to you when you cruise on back and you be safe. John Hogue, of course, has written on a number of subjects of the occult, parapsychology, mysticism, prophecy, expert on Nostradamus. We've talked with him many times about the Mayan calendar date. Well, John, you didn't have to eat your hat, did you?
No, I'm wearing it, the turquoise hat that people saw me wear in the next Nostradamus documentary of History Channel is still on my head and not in my belly.
So here we are. It has come and gone. You were our guest today on our Gaiam TV show, and you did a remarkable job for us talking about this date.
Yeah, I saw the little promo on Coast to Coast. It looked really nice.
You did a super job, my friend. Yeah. But is this a window, John? I mean, is it not over?
Well, you know, George, today is closing the circle of a 25-year quest to be a sympathetic, skeptical inquirer into the Mayan calendar. About 900 radio shows ago, in August of 1987, my first radio show was in Seattle, Washington, trying to talk to callers who were getting up in Mount Rainier to do the harmonic conversions, which was one of the steps in the Mayan calendar dates towards what we're talking about today, a quarter century later. And I find it interesting that I close the circles feeling what I felt 25 years ago, is that what I've learned from my own studies of mysticism, especially in the East, is that if something from outside of you is required to get you to harmonically converge or to love the world or change the consciousness of the world. It's borrowed. It's something that I've learned from studying mysticism, is that you have to, all the great mystics, they discovered it from inside themselves. Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, all of them discovered their light from within. They didn't rely on a Mayan calendar. They didn't rely on a specific day to come together to harmonically converge. They realized that harmonic convergence is something that's moment to moment. It's something available without any tricks or any bondages to whatever the galactic alignment is doing or not. And what I find so amazing about so much of what has been said about the Mayan calendar is that how inaccurate it is, and how not only Nostradamus has been sort of abducted in the last 25 years by this, but the Maya themselves and their calendar has been turned into some great mythology of what I like to call the Lindsay Lohan of doomsday state, you know?
Why did this entire planet, though, John, seem to go crazy over this date? I mean, running off into the sunset, you know, people arrested all over the planet.
Why did they do it in 999? Why did they do it in 2000? What they're doing is following, in my view, a habit of trying to simplify and pin the future on an either-or, black or white, straight-up enlightenment or straight-down doomsday kind of habit, which I'm happy to say, with the end of 2012, this is the end of these end times that we keep throwing on ourselves, these chicken little moments where the sky is expected to fall and it doesn't happen. And what I look at, celebrate towards the coming of the 22nd of December and the rest of my life and our lives, is that now you have to face your future as it is coming at you without any dates to pin your hopes or fears on. You have to deal with how your actions in the present reflect in their predictability in the future, echoing more dire than positive outcomes. And the way to deal with that now is, now there's no 2012 date to deal with global warming. We're dealing with it. Now there's no 2012 date to deal with the insustainability of an economy in a climate change situation. We have to deal with it. And so many years have gone by where people have asked, why aren't you one of the 3,000 other writers who have made a career in the industry out of writing books on 2012? Your silence is deafening, some people said, because of your background with so much of prophecy scholarship. And my answer has always been that I would wait to the very end, and I would, few weeks even after 2012 has come and gone, that's when I would publish my book on 2012, which I would thematically say is a book about the end of end times, this habit of looking for ends. There's no end. There's only eternal beginning.
Well, John, you know, as we wrap this up with you, you look forward to a brighter planet?
Well, the poor Nostradamus, who I write a lot about long time now, has been in a lot of History Channel and Discovery Channel documentaries, has been dragged in to somehow stretch him into saying that 2012 was doomsday. The people who do this obviously never read Nostradamus' prophecies, because he said very clear the year of his doomsday was 3797 A.D., which is almost 1,800 years in the future. And even then, it's not a doomsday. We're not even on the planet anymore. Even though it's being devoured by the expanding sun, we're living in the constellations of Aquarius and Cancer and living on eternally, free of the trap of being on this planet. We're in definitely an evolutionary crisis. Indeed, the next decade coming is probably going to be the most significantly challenging decade in human history. That's why I call it the Roaring 2020s. But all of this evolution of 100 years of evolutionary upheaval is going to potentially lead any time between now and 700 years from now to a spiritually balanced, mature, grown-up human race.
I think you're right on. John, thank you for being on the program tonight and for so many appearances on Coast to Coast AM. When we come back, Mike Barra, Major Ed Dames join in. We'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, one of the world's foremost remote viewers, of course. Major Ed Dames with us. Ed, of course, talked about the kill shot some time ago. Ed, what do you think? Did we dodge the bullet?
Well, I'm still alive. So are you.
I sure am. We made it through.
We dodged it for a while. I think, like Y2K, as I mentioned on your show on Coast to Coast, more than 12 years ago, is a non-event. But anyway, for one reason or another, this is really the end of an era for the United States, for our country, and the beginning of the end of an age for humankind. And in a nutshell, next year, 2013 and beyond, chaos, havoc, bleakness.
I think so, too.
It's only going to become worse.
I think so. Do you think the Mayans knew something about that?
I think perhaps they did. I'm not sure. This idea of tulpas and the ages throughout the... Before there was technology, people were much more in tune with themselves and, let's say, the cosmos. So they were aware of cycles much more than we are. We're so busy with our iPods and things like that. But there's lots of potential character-building opportunities lying just ahead.
Well, Ed, I still think, too, that things could happen. You know, the sun could unleash an X-flare. You know, the kill shot that you've talked about for so many years could occur. And you truly believe it will eventually. You know, I don't think we're out of the woods yet.
George, this is my perspective as an intelligence officer and a remote viewer, both. This is the year that all hell breaks loose. Let me put things in perspective, though. I mean,
sure.
For many humans on the planet, life is already hell on earth. Hunger, oppression, war. Comparatively, there's very few of us fat cat Westerners have experienced any of those kinds of things. But for us, we're about to.
So we're going to...
A confluence of events, really. It's geophysical, geopolitical, socioeconomic. We're facing really fast, extreme weather misery. Okay, and all indications are that this solar kill shot sequence is about to begin, hands down. But even if it doesn't, I believe it will, of course, but even if it doesn't, what's in your face is radiation. Fukushima is a nightmare beyond belief. It's the worst human tragedy, created tragedy in history. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, you're right. Sadly, you are absolutely right. Well, Major, we got through this moment, but I think we have many moments ahead. And again, thank you for your service, not only to the country, but to our program.
George, one more thing. I'll be in Reno next month to talk for the first time in my career and probably the only time, too. You're invited to that as well.
Okay. You just
LearnRV.com.
Send us the information, okay?
Okay. Bye.
All right. LearnRV.com is Ed's website. Let's get in Mike Barra now. Mike, of course, noted author, Ancient Aliens on the Moon, The Choice, Dark Mission, The Secret History of NASA. He has talked about the Mayan calendar date for some time. So, Mike, I want your reaction to things that have been going on here.
Well, I think it's really interesting how quiet today was. I mean, today is one of the quietest days ever. I mean, literally nothing happened today.
Everybody hid.
Yeah, everybody hid. And, you know, the thing is, George, is that the book was called The Choice, and today is the day that, according to the Tortuguero Monument, that Quetzalcoatl will ride his serpent robe or Kukulcan from the center of the galaxy, which is a torsion beam, and manifest here and pass judgment on all of us. And what that judgment really is, I've tried to point out to people before, is the judgment is, what do we want to do with our planet? And I think what's happening today, in a sense, is that everybody is voting. Do we want to keep going on with this culture and society and the direction that we have been going? Is there enough positive for us to keep this civilization moving forward, or do we want to wipe the slate clean and start over, as apparently we have three or four times in the past? And the essence of the choice always was, where everybody was, to understand that on a day like today, you have the opportunity to vote. You have the opportunity to vote with your thoughts and your prayers and the feelings you express towards your fellow man, and ask for what you want. And so that's kind of my message is keep it quiet, because, you know, you should be looking inward today and you should be thinking about the future and what kind of world you want to live in.
For those people who have talked about doom and gloom on this day, mm-hmm. have they lost all credibility?
Yeah. And, you know, the truth is that's one of the reasons why I didn't. I mean, I looked at all the nightmare scenarios when I did the choice. I looked at all the possibilities. They're all out there. They're all possible. But look, the sun is as quiet as it's ever been. This is an extremely wimpy solar cycle. It's not agitated. A lot of the other, you know, pole shifting scenarios don't seem to be happening. Nobody's seen Nibiru. None of these things seem to really have taken place. And, you know, again, I think that's because we voted a long time ago that we do not want to have the world wiped out and start over again. The question now is, we have a lot of hard choices to make with what kind of society we want, because the physics of this, the alignment physics, is a real thing. You know, Richard Hoagland, our friend out in New Mexico, has measured this. I'll bet he's
floating now on some ship somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's right. He's out on a ship. ship that neither one of us wants to be on. Anyway, and, you know, I bet he's measuring this pulse of energy. It can be measured with devices he has. We're going to be hit with this energy every 9 days now. It seems to be a 9-day cycle, all the way through till March or April, and especially the most interesting times are going to be moving into January and early February, where these pulses get the most intense of this energy from the center of the galaxy. But the cool thing about it is the energy is pliable. We can turn it to do whatever we want it to do. And if we choose to make changes to our culture, to bring out more truth and so forth, that can be used. And I know a lot of people don't believe that, but that's what that energy can be used for. I think in previous times, if we were enmeshed in all the fear and everything, we might have had some catastrophe or cataclysm coming forward, and we may still have some earthquakes. But let's face facts. I mean, what you just heard about Fukushima being the worst man-made disaster ever. Really, what about World War II? I think we killed 45 million people in World War II. So I think we're through the worst of it. And now what I'm fascinated about is what choices are we going to make in the next 10 or 12 years? And what kind of a society are we going to have when we get done making those choices?
That's a good point. We're going to continue to take your phone calls throughout the night, by the way, so make sure you check in with us. Let's go to Barbara Marks Hubbard now. Barbara, of course, author of a number of books, including Birth 2012 and Beyond. Barbara, your take on today's lack of anything.
Oh, yes. I am delighted to be on. I think December 21st, is the ending not only of the Mayan long calendar, but it symbolizes the ending of a certain phase of human growth, human consciousness. We can't double the population again. We can't continue to grow the way we've been growing in the womb of a finite Earth. Something is ending, but what we're celebrating on December 22nd, which is the day one of celebrating what's being born, what's new and creative. And I think it's exactly what George just said, that it can be either a destruction of the world as we know it, or can be the birth of a world as we co-create it. And we're entering the first age of the conscious evolution, conscious choice of humanity as to how it's going to evolve. So that's why this is a very important day. How many of us are going to wake up? And I'm personally at the Agape Center here, and I'm going to be on live internet with many other people.
Super.
Celebrating our first planetary birthday on December 22nd.
You know, Barbara, there are some people who are somewhat disappointed that nothing happened.
Well, I wouldn't say nothing happened. You see, nothing happened in terms of
a catastrophe.
Ending of the... I never, never expected an overt catastrophe. And when you say something is being born, it's subtle. And you know what? Where you really can find it? In yourself. In your listeners, in yourself. Is there something you feel being born in you that's more than you can create or do that you've ever done before? If that's happening, you're part of the birth. And if you could do a scan right now in health, education, economics, energy systems, new kinds of cultural systems, spiritual growth, you would find a lot emerging.
I think so. Let's take a few quick calls here, Barbara. I know we don't have you for too much longer here.
Thank
Ron
you.
In Sacramento, welcome to the program. Go ahead, Ron. You're on with us.
Hello, Ron. Hello. Thank you very much
sure
for
thing.
Taking my call, George. I was just calling about the issues, the segments that were on your
lying about the Mayan calendar and how this is going to be the end of times and so on and so forth. And other people said, well, this is just going to, the end of a cycle and it will begin another cycle. And that was, of course, true. And I remember back when Art Bell had a lot of segments on about Y2K.
He sure did.
And I emailed him. I said, hey, nothing's going to happen. Of course, it did not. So, yes, I agree that where we go from here is up to us collectively.
I think that, you know, Robert, you're absolutely right, Ron. And when we talked Barbara Marks Hubbard some time ago about the future, it is up to us, isn't it?
It's up to us, and there's a pattern in the process of evolution. If you look back 13.7 billion years ago, and you see from nothing at all, from the silence, from the eternal, came an impulse of creativity. The Big Bang, the first 3 seconds, very amazingly, beautifully designed, and then comes energy, matter, billions of galaxies, and so on. And then on this Earth, the life forms. I see ourselves as a new life form on planet Earth. I see Mother Earth is giving birth, as she gave to bacteria and life and animal life and human life, to life that is capable of being connected to the whole, life that loves Earth, and life that is creative enough to eventually restore this Earth and explore the universe. I feel we're at the dawn of the first age of a universal species.
Now, does all this go out the window if something happens tomorrow?
You see, I don't believe that the so-called something, I think something is going to happen tomorrow, will be collective awareness of an impulse of creativity, particularly on the Internet. And from if you looked on birth2012.com, you will see there's going to be there's hours and hours of live Internet, and there'll be 4.5 hours of live broadcast from Agape Center, starting at 11:30 a.m. Pacific, and we're bringing in people from all over the world. That's something happening, and we're creating it.
Let's go next to Robert in South Bend, Indiana. Hey, Robert, it's your turn. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me, Jordan.
Sure thing. You are welcome.
I think the planet has had birthing pains. I think we need to look out what we're doing to our planet and how we're taking care of it and managing it, because God gave it to us. Take care of it. And we're just polluting it too much and doing too much. And that's why the weather's so crazy nowadays. Because we're doing too much stuff we shouldn't be doing, like just crazy stuff. I think we need to take care of what we have and manage it. Maybe we'll be better. I don't know. 2012, it was on everybody's mind, but nothing happened.
It was a pretty good wake-up call, don't you think, Barbara?
I think it waked us up to something, that something is dying and something worse can happen. I think that's very true. We have to manage this planet better. But I also think because of day one, which is December 22nd, it's waking us up to what we can become. You see, something is being born in us. And something is being born, I believe, on a universal scale from planet Earth. And if you're talking about contact with other life, I don't think we can have shared contact until we stop fighting and start resonating harmoniously here on Earth.
Gibsonia, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Ben's with us. Ben, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good, Ben.
I'm going to be honest with you. Don't make fun of me. I'm a big fan of the show.
We won't.
I just got out of the bunker I built with my family here. you can go out and laugh. My family and friends have been laughing at me for a while now. And
better to be safe than sorry, huh?
Yeah. I've been lucky. I've spent a lot of money on a unit here I had built underground, 50 feet deep in my backyard.
No.
Well, but I got to tell you, Ben, you know, one day you may need it from some event, some calamity that might occur. You know, Barbara, he's not all off on that.
No, I think that it might be good at some point. Yes, it's a protective place. And are you down under now? Or are you calling from above?
I came up because I was under here for a while. I had talked up on good for a while. But I had a radio down here, and the only thing I heard that happened to any thing was that man that got into a gunfight with the state troopers out
in Pennsylvania. Yeah, he went nuts. Another one.
Yeah. It was crazy, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I was a little disappointed because I was preparing for the end of the world here. Like, I don't know if you ever seen that movie, I Am Legend.
What did you think, Ben, was going to happen?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I heard a lot about. I've been listening to the show for a while now. I heard a lot about the solar flares.
Yeah. You cannot rule that out. That could happen, though, one day.
It still can, one day. And, like, I've had a pretty successful life as a lawyer. And, you know, I have a lot of my clients don't listen to the show, thank goodness. But I've had a pretty fortunate life to make millions of dollars. And I spent a good $1.3 million upwards on this unit.
Wow.
And supplies, yeah, and supplies over the years. But, you know, I try to get on that show, dude. Prepper, like, yeah, I'm laughing right now.
They would have loved you. Okay, Ben. Thanks for the input. I'm glad you're okay, and nothing has happened. But Barbara, I've got to tell you, and you know how spiritual I am, and you know how much I just relish the fact that humanity can pull out and make things happen. I cannot rule out, as I've said before, some kind of an event from the sun that could devastate us. We're not ready. The grid is not insulated. Anything could happen there. I can't rule that out, Barbara.
No, I don't think you should rule that out. We could have a catastrophe at any time. But I think what you have to rule in is what we can be doing to generate more love, more creativity, more sustainability. And until such an accident, if it does happen, happens, it's better to live in a co-creative mode than in a fearful mode.
Well, that could be. Barbara, tell us a little bit about this event you're taking place tomorrow.
Well, it's celebrated by the Shift Network. It will be from 11:30 to 3:30 p.m. Pacific time, and it's going to have a group of luminaries all giving their deepest impression of what's being born. People like Marianne Williamson and Neil Donald Walsh and James O'Dea and many other well-known people will be speaking. There'll be music. There'll be choirs.
You've got some heavy hitters here.
We do. And we're going to have a big press conference, and we're going to be connected up via internet. We're going to be reaching all over the world, and people will be coming in from different parts of the world celebrating what they are doing. And we're launching what we consider to be the first birthday party of planet Earth.
I love it. And they can get information on the BarbaraMarksHubbard.com website?
No, they should look on birth2012.com.
All right. Birth2012.com.
That's it.
All right, birth2012.com. Barbara Marks Hubbard. Barbara, thank you so much.
Thank you, George. We love you, and the best of wishes to all your listeners.
You got that right. And more to come, of course. In a moment, we're going to continue with the Mayan calendar theme throughout the night tonight. We'll take your calls, of course, with a number of guests. Standing on deck, of course, L.A. Marzulli, Danyon Brinkley. We're going to get to all of them in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we've got a whole group of other guests for you throughout the night. Most of them have appeared on Coast to Coast specifically talking about the Mayan calendar end date. Others like Danyon Brinkley and L.A. Marzulli, Dr. Bruce Goldberg standing by, and so many others have talked about their various aspects of their expertise as well. We'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Don't touch your dial. If you need to email me, George@coasttocoastam.com.